thank you, Vedere, and lovely to be with you again here in Darlington. And brothers and sisters and friends, our reading, New Testament reading, gives us a message that is honest and wonderfully hopeful. James here reminds us that the temptation does not come from God, and it does not come from some external forces outside of us. The real battle is inside. The real testing is spiritual. Life brings many different trials, and some face persecution, and obviously for their faith, for our beliefs. We see a lot of them in Africa and some distant part of the world. Some faces illnesses because of our human nature. Some faces family pain and betrayal, loss, or deep disappointment for whatever reason, because life is not easy. And these outward situations may look very different, but James tells us that the essence of every trial is the same. Each one tests our inner heart, our response, our faith, our character, and this is where the message becomes beautifully positive. When James and the whole Bible teaches that our eternal character is being shaped right now. Who will be forever is connected to how you walk with God today. And in Revelation chapter 3, this mentioned in verse 11, it says, hold fast what you have, so that no one takes your crown. That crown, your eternal identity, your eternal glory, is already being formed. And Paul speaks of a crown of righteousness laid up for him, waiting for the day of Christ. In other words, God is shaping something eternal in us, and He's doing it through the ordinary moments of our life. And the Bible teaches something deeply personal and wonderfully encouraging. God is saving you. Not a crowd, not a category, not a group identity. It's you, it's me, with our personality, your story, your struggles, your strength, and your weaknesses. And He is shaping us individuals. He is forming a unique characters. He is preparing eternal personalities and eternal people. And James tells us that this new person, the eternal you, has already begun. Let's read from verse 18 of James chapter 1. Of His own will, He begot us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. This means God has already started His workings. The new creation has already begun. We are the first stage of who we will be eternally. Like, the new creation has already begun in us. And this is, and we are now on the first stage. And this is not theory. This is not a distant. This is happening now. And James says we were begotten or born by the word of truth, not by our effort, not by our goodness, not by our strength. God planted something inside us, a seed, a beginning, and a new life. And this is why James calls us first fruits. Just as Jesus was the first fruits of resurrection, we are the first fruits of the new creation God is forming. And there is you that God sees, a you and me that is growing, that is becoming, a you that the day, one day, be fully revealed when Christ returns. And that eternal person is being shaped right now. James continues in verse 21, and I will read it in Revised Standard Version. It says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So the word here is the word gospel. The simple message God gave to Abraham, such as believe God, trust his promise, you will forever in his kingdom, your sins will be forgiven, and you will be blessed. And the gospel is not just an information. It grows in us. It changes people. It forms a new character in us. And in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So how do we do the gospel? We live out its implications. If God forgives us, we should also forgive others. If God shows you grace, you show grace too. If God promises you eternal life, we should live in hope. And if God loves you, you'll love others. If God is patient with you, you become patient. And doing the word means letting the gospel shape our reactions, our choices, and our character. And it's not about perfection, it's not about direction, it's about responding to grace with gratitude. In the last few verses, James gives a powerful picture. The person who hears but does not do the word is like someone who looks in a mirror and immediately forgets what they look like. But the person who hears and does the word sees themselves clearly. Doing the gospel helps us to know who we really are. But when we practice grace, forgiveness, humility, and love, we begin to see ourselves honestly. And we become aware of our weaknesses. We become aware of our strengths. And we become aware of our need for God. Doing the word brings clarity also. It brings honesty. It brings self-knowledge. And self-awareness is essential for spiritual growth. And in verse 25 of chapter 1, it says, "Whoever looked into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this man shall be blessed." Paul expands this idea. We look into a mirror, but the mirror is Christ. And as we keep looking at him, we are changed from glory to glory. Slowly, his character becomes us. becomes ours. I mean, and the more we look at Jesus, his compassion, his patience, humility, his courage, his love, the more we become like him. And this is the heart of transformation. Not looking at ourselves, but not looking at others also, not looking at your failures, but looking at Jesus. And the more we look at him, the more we see him reflected in us. And James and Paul agrees on this, to keep looking, keep doing, and keep responding. Spiritual growth is not a moment. It is a direction. It is our daily work. And we might want to ask ourselves, how much time do I spend thinking about Jesus? And how often do I reflect on his character? And how often do I let his example shape my reactions? Because anyone can think of doctrines or debates or church's issue or our issue in life. But the heart of our faith is a person, Jesus. He is the mirror. He is the Word made flesh. He is the perfect law of liberty. And he is the one who transforms us. And James begun by saying we are first fruits. And this means God has started something in us and he will finish it. The person we are becoming now is the beginning of our eternal self. And our character matters. Your spiritual mind matters. Your personality matters. And God is forming an eternal person. A person who will live forever. A person who reflects Christ. A person who is truly themselves. A person who is fully alive. And that work is happening today. Brothers and sisters and friends, God has begun a good work in us, and he will not abandon it. He will not forget it. He will not forget you and me, and he will not give up on us. And let that word implanted in us and grow in us. Let the gospel shape our lives, not the world around us. And let us keep looking at Jesus. Let us keep walking toward the kingdom. And now we are about to break bread and drink wine, the cup. We turn our eyes to the one who makes all this possible, the Lord Jesus. He is the perfect example of endurance and the trial. He is the one who faced temptations without sin. He is the one who helped us of his Father's will, even unto death. And because he overcame, we now have hope. And as we take the bread and remember his body, and his life given for us, the life he lived, the character, his blood poured, and the path he walked, we will take the cup, his blood, the forgiveness that allows us to grow, to change, to become new. And in him we see the person we are called to become. In him we see the glory we will one day share. And in him we see the crown that is being shaped in us even now. And so let us hold fast. Let us look to Jesus. Let us remember him in this bread and wine. And let us trust that when he returns, the person God has been forming in us will be revealed in glory. And we will finally be